Everyone, happy Friday. It's the Sedano Show. Brian Kamenetsky and Clinton Yates filling in for George today and into next week. Clinton and I and Ramona Shelburne will be kind of holding things down while George takes a well-deserved vacation. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Sedano Show appear via the Shell Performance line. And is Clinton on yet? Or are we still working out this thing?
We're still working it out. He should be on shortly. Just, you know, technology, Brian, it's one of those things that is not very easy on many people.
I don't know. I mean, I've actually been pretty impressed with how we've been able to manage this over the course of time.
Right. Isn't that impressive? For 4 months, we've all been at home and there really hasn't been any hiccups.
Not really. I mean, no worse. Like, there was that one day where the Mason Ireland show was shut down because somebody unplugged the station. Like, remember that day? That scene in Airplane where Johnny pulls the plug and all the runway lights go out. That essentially happened at the station. So, you know, I this has been going on pretty well without a hitch, I think, over the course of the pandemic. So I've been impressed.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone through, what is it, at least 4 or 5 shows every single day and using all of these different Comrexes. And yet every show basically has been seamless with a little hiccup here and there.
Right. So there's a lot to kind of get into today. The baseball has everyone worried, but apparently very little coronavirus among its player populations. Meanwhile, the NBA is fully inside the bubble, Greg. Everyone is there. Everyone has arrived. Some teams still in quarantine. Other teams are getting out of it. But the big thing is social media coming from it. The NBA bubble life Twitter handle is going off, and people are talking a lot about food. It seems to be the topic of conversation in the NBA right now is what guys are eating.
Am I alone here? I mean, I see these pictures of the food that they're getting, and I'm like, that food looks good. I mean, I don't know. If you put it all on a plate, right, and it wasn't just separated like it is, I think – that would be a good hearty meal where I'd get full afterwards. There's a whole, get steak.
Yeah. But chicken. Like Clinton and Clinton's here, right? Clinton, hey,
what's
Clinton,
up,
how
guys?
Are you? All right. So you know this.
Clinton, I'm exhausted, but that's okay. How are you?
I know you've been doing, you just came from Levitard.
It was a minute ago, but it's okay. I'm here, guys. Hi.
No, but you, but it's a lot. It's a lot. You are a very hardworking person.
Thank you, sir.
And you should be proud of yourself and your family should be proud of you. So I do think Greg is hitting on something. We're catching up on the NBA food thing, which is absolutely dominating Twitter right now.
Yeah.
The fact that it's all served in styrofoam and just kind of you open up and there's like bacon in one container and chicken on another container and whatever. Like if you put it all on a plate and as Greg's saying, and made it look nice, suddenly you got yourself a great looking meal, but that's not how it's coming. And people are kind of freaking out about it.
Also, like, food is not just, I mean, there's a lot to be said for what the purpose of food is. And I don't want to get, like, sort of too existential about it. But, like, if you go to do something, and everybody knows this, and the food sucks, you're not having a good time. I mean, that's just a basic fact of the matter with anything you get on. I mean, you know this. You travel around to different places. People hit you up all the time. What's in the media room? What's going on? What are they serving? Bill Plaschke introduced me to the shareables at the Staples Center. Changed my life. Legit. I'm only half joking about that, but the reason I say that is because nutrition for athletes, 10 times more important. Not even just a personal taste thing. I mean, it's a legitimate competitive element. And so if the food is a question mark, dog, that's a serious issue. I mean, you got teams that are literally overhauling their entire nutritional processes to make their teams better. It's a complete, you know, holistic view of what intake is for calories and everything else. I mean, this is not hard to understand, but I just sort of feel like if you don't have what everybody wants, you're also bringing a serious security risk. Like, if people don't like the food, they're going to do what they have to do to get it. I know we talk about all the other things that people think that folks are going to do, but like, food is a basic, and that first look was not good. Got to improve, man. Can't
well, I what people need to understand, I think there's a difference supposedly in the quarantine food, the food that the players have to eat in the 2 days that they must stay in their rooms after arriving in Orlando, and stuff is like delivered to them and left outside their door. And there's like a whole procedure with how this goes on. that looks like the hot zone. You know, from some of those, you know, movies that came out, you know, before. Then once they're done, though, every team is allowed to bring its own chef, like you can bring a person to make food for its players. And then the league is providing food support as well. And you can order out from, you know, local businesses. And then also every restaurant Tillman Fertitta owns. So there's that. But it should get better. I think it should.
It has to get better. It has to get better because you don't want people complaining or you don't want people feeling like it's already weird enough. You know, you're asking guys to leave their families. You're asking guys to quarantine. You're asking dudes to hang out at Disney for 3 months, which is just weird. I don't care if you know, listen, we work for Disney. I love Disney. Your boy could kick it at Disney Springs all day and all night. But I don't have the lifestyle of an NBA basketball player. I don't need those kind of stimuli. I'm different. You know, I'm a basic on some level and I can hang out. But like, you've got to make sure that the energy, like the mental energy, if you will, is really there for these guys. I'm not saying they're not going to be able to concentrate. I'm just saying that like, if anybody is in a situation where they feel that their competitiveness is being, you know, compromised or they're just not having fun, that's going to affect the basketball, you know? And that's what I think about all the time with this. It's like these dudes, they're not that many of these guys. You know, there's enough of them where if there's a shift in mood, you're going to have a different tournament. So I hope that they do get it together and I hope that they do improve in that way, because that matters to me beyond just the humans from a competition standpoint.
Well, here in this, I think what you're getting at, Clinton, is really important aspect of what this tournament is going to be. And what, you know, we talk a lot about coronavirus. We talk about, you know, soft tissue injuries, and we should. There's no question. Like, all of this stuff is really important and needs to be mentioned. The other thing that these guys are going to have to fight as more than any is boredom, because there are so many rules. And it's like, I know these guys like to talk about, you know, all I do is I like to ball and I like to go home. I, you know, spend time with my family, spend time with my girl, whatever it might be. You know, like, you tell these guys basically all you can do is play basketball for 3 months. Half of them are going to be like, great, that's all I do anyway. Because this is their job. This is their passion. This is what they do. And they can do it, but it's different when that's all you can only play so much ping pong. You can only, you know, not everybody wants to go out and play a round of golf on the Disney properties. And LeBron can only organize so many fishing trips on the lake. Like, you can only do so much of this stuff. And part of what makes I love being around my teammates, I love being like on the court and all that, is the knowledge that if I want to, I could spend a little time with that guy. I could spend a little time over here with these people. I can just be, you don't get that in the bubble. Like, you're really not, if you follow all the rules, and the NBA seems like they're going to really try hard to make you do that. All of those outlets that you have, even if you don't use them, they make you feel good. And you're taking that away from guys potentially for 3.5 months.
And more importantly, they make you feel balanced as a human, you know?
Yes.
Elite athletes spend a lot of time in their sport. It doesn't necessarily mean it's where all of their psychological and emotional energies go all throughout the day. And that is healthy, you know? There's a reason why decompression is a thing. There's a reason why guys, you know, do other things outside of play, even if it's not necessarily the main thing. And it's going to be a weird balance. I asked Tommy Shepard, the Wizards GM, I was on a call with him like a week ago, and I was like, dude, do you guys have a plan for like what you do when you're not on the court? And he was just kind of like, actually, I don't know. We don't really know the layout. We don't really know what we're going to do. He mentioned bowling. And if you know Tommy Shepard, he'd be a fun dude to bowl with. That dude probably knows a thing or two around the lanes. I just say that from the sound of his voice, if you get my point. I like him. But what I mean is that, like, for all of the mental health experts, for all the food nutritionists, like, you kind of need a social director on some level here. Because I just don't know that – how do I explain this? I don't know how you can measure, yo, my guys aren't having fun, and it's affecting our game. And I don't know how you can fix that in between in a situation like Disney. You know, it's a very tricky balance. And if I was running an NBA team, this would be paramount to me, because squads are going to fall off for various reasons, whether it be health, whether it be losses. Like, staying motivated is going to be real. And don't jump in my mentions telling me, oh, they're getting paid millions of dollars to hang out at Disney, they should be motivated. You ain't living their lives. You know, these are the top 1% in their jobs in the world.
And let's stop for a second here, too, with the they're getting paid to hang out at Disney. They're not hanging out at Disney. Right. They're not going around and using the spas and going to the theme. I mean, yes, we know that a certain portion of the security forces that are there, which are designed to keep people out, really, and keep these players safe, since we know so much about their schedules and so much about this is public. There are legitimate safety concerns that go well beyond coronavirus for having the entire NBA in one place. And they have to be considered. I am positive there is a section of the security forces that are there to keep the Lopez brothers out of the park. Like, we know that they're going to try to sneak in and like operate the things themselves, like a scene from Vacation, you know, when they kidnap John Candy. Like, they're worried about that. But, you know, nobody's hanging out at the park.
No.
They're not hanging out at Disney. They are in their hotel rooms. Then they're going to practice. And then they're wearing masks and socially distancing and maybe picking up food at a restaurant. And they're doing this without their friends, without their families and all that. It is going to suck. It is not going to be fun. It is not going to be cool. And it is way worse than how they experience life at home. It's not coal mining. I think we all understand that, but neither is this. What we're doing here isn't coal mining either, and there are times we complain about the conditions.
It's true, but I mean, I see your point here. And the other thing, too, is that, like, they're all together, which on a social level is very, very different. You know, not everybody likes everybody that much, you know, and that's fine. And I don't mean to be all, you know, sort of worry-worried about this, because it's not really, it's not my problem in one sense, but here's what I hope. And here's what I think the NBA will be able to capitalize on. Players going to their friends' games. Like, the vibe of that is the single biggest thing that I'm interested in from a new angle. Like, you're telling me I can watch basketball games where other NBA players are there and mic'd up and talking and scouting and hanging out?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sign me up for that every day. That is what I'm really looking forward to, because it reminds me of team basketball camp in high school. You go to basketball camp, you're hanging out with your team, but you go watch other people play because there are the other people there and nothing else to do, you know? And it adds an element of competitiveness. It adds a level of camaraderie that I hope the players capitalize on, you know? I hope these guys show, and I hate to be corny here, whatever brotherhood there is among NBA players, because that'll be cool. That's why we like the All-Star game. That's why we like the dunk contest.
Right.
Because the dudes that are good show up to watch the other dudes that are good. I need a lot of that in my bubble life. That's what I'm looking forward to.
We're going to get a lot. I mean, we'll talk about this over the course of the show. If you ever wanted to get a feeling for who these guys are, NBA social media is going to tell you over the next few.
Oh, yeah. Because
they got nothing to do but put themselves out there. Clint, that was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same networks for up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, for just $45 a month. No contract. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise. Clinton, we got a couple things we got to get into.
Yep.
There is a great deal of worry about coronavirus in the NBA. There's a lot with coronavirus in Major League Baseball.
Ugh.
But signs, at least for now, are okay. Okay, and how worried should I be?
One of those.
We'll do that next. Sedano Show, Clinton Yates, Brian Kamenetsky, 710 ESPN. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Brian Kamenetsky and Clinton Yates filling in for Sedano today.
What's up, kiddos?
We need your opinion here, Clinton. So this is what the morning show is doing. You know, you've seen their snake drafts, what
yes.
they do every couple times a week. So today's snake draft was bar games. I'm going to give you three lists. I want you to tell me which list is best. Who had the best draft of bar games? List A, pool, like billiards, axe throwing, skee ball, and pinball.
Out.
List B, foosball, tabletop shuffleboard, you know, with the sand and whatever.
Yep.
Beer pong, trivia.
There is no one that will beat that.
List C, darts, pop a shot, cornhole, air hockey.
Okay, we got a couple things we got to break down here from a taxonomy standpoint. Don't know that in 2020 I'm ready to consider cornhole a bar game necessarily. You know, I get why it's in there, but that's still a backyard game to me, not a bar game.
I've been to enough bars that have them. They, you know, tend to be like those outdoor kind of beer type of places.
But I would never expect it anywhere.
I've seen more cornhole in bars these days than skee ball.
That's true. I mean, excellent point.
I mean, and there aren't a lot of pinball machines in bars anymore either. So
that's true. And they're all in the same bar if they're in one. However,
right.
The middle list is critical for your boy for two reasons. Number one,
right.
I mean, beer pong, I'm nice. You know, that's just what it is. I can hit the cups big time. A lot of practice. Just playing good at it. And let me tell you the second thing that's on the B list. Foosball, which I am way better at than every single person I know. And let me explain to you why. When I was a kid at my school, I went to private school, we had a boys' locker room that, like, from the time you were in fourth grade through, like, 12th grade, it was effectively the same room. They had a foosball table in there. And it was dead serious. Full wood, two-on-two, play to five, get off. Every minute of my life where I wasn't in school playing sports or talking to girls, I was playing foosball up until I was a senior in high school from fourth grade. So I am good. So if foosball's on the table.
What magical school was this that had a foosball
I'm
table?
I'm playing. It wasn't a magical school. They just thought it was a good way to keep the stupid kids in, you know.
Damn right it was.
You know, and it worked. Everybody I know from my school is a pretty good player. And every bar I go to where I see a table, I go to the table and I look around and say, okay, y'all want to play? Pretty much every time I crush somebody. And that's not to say I'm the best player on earth. I'm just saying as far as bar games go, that's the one that I know I am extremely good at. And so that one will definitely make my list every time.
All right. So here's I was given this list during Crosstalk and as that show was closing up.
Right.
Initially, I went with list A. List A is Keyshawn, and that's pool, axes, skee ball, and pinball. And that apparently is winning on the polls. But I got to be
axes?
Honest.
Are axes even established enough at this point? Sorry, that's an honest question.
Right, but I mean, we've already made exceptions for cornhole and pinball.
That's a good point.
And skee ball.
Excellent point.
So I think we got to accept there are places that do axe throwing. It's very hip. It's very modern. It's very now. You know, we could all be prisoners of the moment. There's no question. But for the time being, I think we got to keep it there. What I realized about this was two things. First of all, it's an extremely Keyshawn list because all of these games are games that you can play by yourself. And Keyshawn is as antisocial as anybody and crabby as anybody at the station. So these are all games that Keyshawn wants to be able to play when he doesn't want to be around the other people at the bar. I'm going to go throw axes. I'm going to go play skee ball by myself.
Right.
I'm going to go play pinball by myself. Foosball, you need at least two people, preferably four. Shuffleboard, you have to have the second person. Beer pong can't be played without at least one more person. Trivia, okay. You're going to play that by yourself? What this tells me, you choosing this list, Clinton, tells me that you are a fun, engaging, and social human being who is much more fun at the bar than Keyshawn is.
Okay.
And Travis choosing darts, pop a shot, cornhole, and air hockey tells me he's a white guy.
Yeah. I mean, I knew the third list was Travis. That wasn't even a question. That was a non-question in my mind. That's not a knock on the list. I was just like, I have a feeling I know in the old blind resume who took that. That was clear. But yeah, man, foosball, huge deal to me. I know it's weird, you know? I remember I was interviewed back in the day when I first started doing something for something, and somebody said, tell me something about your personality. If you had a chance to meet the president, what would you do? And you know what I said? I said, I'd take him to play foosball. Legit. And they said, you know why? Because I'd whoop his behind. That's why. And if you can beat the president or something, then that's fun. But yeah,
okay,
man.
Now when you play golf with the president, you're supposed to let him win. When you play foosball with the president, are you supposed to let him win?
Oh, dude. I mean, here's the other thing about foosball and me. I am not a hyper competitive person at all. I don't care who wins or loses in the games that we cover for the most part. As a fan, it matters to me in terms of the group happiness of the people I know. But I'm not the kind of person who's going to sit there and say, I'm better than you at this and that and the third, except for one thing. And that is table soccer. I will talk the most trash and be the meanest person on earth, period. And I have a story to back this up, which will prove something to you. We all know who Fred Smoot is, right?
Yeah. Former defensive back for the Washington football team, among others.
Mouth of the South, as he was known. Fred talked a lot of trash. One day, and I'll keep this short, I walked into a bar. Fred was doing a remote. I said, hey, Fred, how you doing? He said, oh, Yates, what up? We weren't super friendly, but we knew each other. And I said, you want to get your butt whooped at foosball? He was like, I said, no, I will crush you in front of everybody. I talked all the trash in the world to one of the biggest trash talkers in the NFL. Got on the table. I destroyed him. Didn't even be nice about it. To this day, he's still mad at me about it because I embarrassed him.
Well, that's because Fred Smoot and all of those guys are hyper competitive.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Like those guys hate losing to anybody and anything.
I'm just letting you know, I don't talk a whole lot of mess unless I absolutely need to in a competitive sense. And I was confident enough to tell one of the loudest and most brash and funniest players in the history of the NFL that he couldn't see any parts of this. And he just had to wear it. Felt great. Love Fred.
But if it feels that good to beat Fred Smoot in that, think about what it's like.
No.
And this is why I don't understand. Yes. Like, I understand it's the president. You have to let it. Like, the idea that I just beat the president in something that I could say for the rest of my life, oh, remember that time when I played the president in foosball or played the president in basketball or the president in golf and I kicked his ass? Yeah, I could say that. Totally
yes.
Worth the possibility of ticking off the leader of the free world. Like, that to me is worth it because really, what is the president really going to take revenge on me personally for beating him in foosball? Possibly.
Different question
Possibly.
These days.
It depends on the president. No question. But probably not.
No.
Probably Although, not. And so then I get the story. Nothing bad happens to me. And that's it. Like, we go. Greg, do I lose points for switching lists and acknowledging that my list, my initial reaction to the Bar Games list and Keyshawn's list was, in fact, the wrong choice?
It was an astute analysis, though, of the setup regarding Keyshawn and his social ability. Okay. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, people can change their minds on things. From the first second, though, I'm with Clinton. That third, the B list is absolutely the best list.
Strong.
I'm coming around.
Foosball, shuffleboard, beer pong, and trivia is staples of a good bar. If you have those in your bar, you are having a great time there. I mean, Keyshawn does have the best top two overall. Pool is the best bar game, period. And then axe throwing just seems like a lot of fun. But I don't feel like I can do it at every moment of time. And Travis's list, I feel like it is just a Dave and Buster's.
Right. I was going to say Top Golf, but okay, I'll give you Dave and Buster's.
Sure. Yeah, basically the same thing.
Again, it's a Travis-y kind of list, to say the very least. There's no question about it. I can't get over the antisocial nature of Key's list.
To be fair to Keyshawn, when I first got out here, and I didn't even live here yet, I actually went to a station event that Keyshawn was at that he invited me to personally, not on the air, and I went, and he saved a seat for me, and he even bought me a couple drinks, and he even told people who I was. So I thought, oh, hey, Keyshawn's really nice in these streets. And I was like, oh, okay, that was just one day. He's nice to me, but I didn't realize he was so antisocial because he welcomed me with open arms.
No, I'm not saying there's a difference between antisocial and mean or antisocial and like Key is a really good guy. He is a gracious person. Like Key and I aren't like tight. If I needed something, hey Key, you know this guy, can you pass along my name, help me out here, whatever, like something professional, personal, whatever it might be. He would totally do it. He is a stand-up dude. He is a great guy, and all of that. You can be those things and have an antisocial streak in you, and I just think he's got it. And he wants – you can see it. Every – is a safety net. I want to be able to go off and separate myself if I need to from the rest of the people at the bar and not be obligated to be like, I want to play a game. I need you to come with me. I can play pinball with another person. I could play skee-ball with another, but you don't have to. And I think these are all safety valves for Key, who is a very famous person, gets recognized
extremely
all the time,
famous person.
Might need to slink off and do that. Yeah. Guys, you should know this. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that was it. Like, that was the Straight Talk. Talk Wireless,
Greg,
no contract, no compromise.
I could beat anybody in the
NBA. We just blew right through it.
I could beat anybody in the NBA in foosball. I believe it.
I would love to play you in some foosball. I'm pretty good at that game.
I would be, dude. Trust me. I would destroy you, and I would be really mean about it to the point that you wouldn't want to play me again.
That's the level I take foosball to,
and I'm not that kind of a person.
Right, I get it. Like, I play foosball a lot. I've played foosball for a very long time, and I'm pretty damn good at it. I do believe that you would beat me.
You've got some bass in your voice here. You're serious. Okay, we should play.
Yeah, for sure. Right. And the
Brian saying no, stop for a second, off the bat. There's an element of Sliwa and the hot dog eating contest here. But also, I was pretty sure Sliwa was pulling a rope-a-dope here on Mason. There's no question about it. But what you guys are doing right now gets into the great argument from yesterday. And as long as we're talking about bars, you want to talk about the greatest competitive sport that happens at a bar. It's bar debates. And we'll talk about that next. Sedano Show, Clinton Yates, Brian Kamenetsky filling in for George, 710 ESPN. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Greg, I believe that was color-coded in green now that I'm looking at it, which means it should have come at the end of the segment, but now I feel like we're ahead of things.
It's all right. Now you got that done. But I'm still offended by both of you.
Yep.
You, Brian Kamenetsky, and you, Laura Romo Lopez.
Damn!
Yeah, you get full names. For saying that you have no idea what my level of skill in foosball is, I believe that Clinton would still beat the hell out of me.
Can you blame us, though, Greg?
Stop, Greg. You don't know what that is. You can't do that. I don't need to know because you're automatically doing the thing where you're on the one hand you're trying to be offended at the idea that I think Clinton would kick your ass in foosball. On the other hand, you're trying to also tell me that it's probably true that Clinton would kick your ass in foosball.
Little both sides.
Pick a lane,
Greg. He's right.
I have spent many hours of my life based around foosball. So I think I could hold my own against Clinton. But the way that he's talking.
Okay, what does
that
mean? That
makes me
in
believe.
In a game to 10, what is holding your own against Clinton?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Is it 10 to 2? Is it 10 to 8?
No, I think I could score at least 5 points in 10 games.
What?
Okay.
I'll play you for $100 a goal, and I won't lose a cent.
But Clinton, before we get to that, if he beats you 10-5, Greg, you kick your ass.
It doesn't matter. But the way you're talking, Clinton, and you could admit it, is that you're saying you beat guys 1-on-2, and you wouldn't let people score on you.
Correct.
So getting 5
and 2 points for the goalie
impressive.
Untouched. Understand right. that.
So would you?
Because I hit it hard, dog.
So would you think that 5 goals against you was impressive?
I can't remember the last time somebody scored 5 goals against me in a foosball game.
Right,
I'm
exactly.
dead serious. So maybe it would be impressive if it happened, and then you would wake up. Okay,
let's do this. I'm down to do this when we can. I'm absolutely in.
Bring the cameras. We can stream it live on Twitch.
If you get 3 goals, I would be shocked.
See, this is just you guys just assuming that I know. I don't know how to play this because I'm the corporate guy. I'm that guy. You know nothing about my level of game in any of this.
That's right. I am assuming that Greg, because Greg has risen to assistant program director and all that, he can't play foosball because he's too corporate. It has nothing to do with the fact.
Too busy.
It has nothing
selling
to do
ads.
With the fact. Maybe there was a time when you used to be able to do that, but now you're neck deep in scheduling. No, that's not
that's
why.
Basically, that's how I do.
It's because I've spent 15 minutes listening to Clinton Yates talk with confidence on a level that you only tend to hear like unvarnished LeBron talking about his ability to beat the crap out of people in basketball. Like, that's what he's doing here. And you don't do that unless you know, not think, know that you will dominate virtually anybody who steps to a foosball table.
All 3 phases.
Yes.
Offense, defense, and the psychological battle as well, which you've already lost.
I've already said that I believe in my skills in foosball, that I know that I can score 5 points. I never said think. Think never came out of my mouth. I said that I can score
now,
5 goals on you.
Let me button this up with a very quick point, which I will open my hand to Greg for. Greg is the exact kind of guy that I like playing with. You know what I'm saying? Because your boy's out here talking a lot of trash, hitting hard. He can hold his own. He doesn't have to do that. He can just operate. So Greg would probably be a good teammate, not necessarily an opponent for him.
All right.
I'm serious.
I'll take
done
that.
Talking Look, I'll take,
yeah,
done talking about foosball.
Yeah, let's
done talking about foosball. I would like to play you though.
No, I think what we're doing here is like that was a nice way to put Greg back in his place because, you know, Robin and like when Batman and Robin are out fighting crime, they fight crime together as a team.
Back to back.
Batman never encourages Robin to go commit crimes. Like he thinks like somehow like Robin could defeat him in a crime committing, crime ending sort of battle there. He's like, well, let's be on the same team. Because it's not going to work out well for you if you go the other way. That's essentially what you're like. You tried right there to give Greg a nice out to avoid the humiliation.
No, I believe Greg more than you all believe Greg, to be quite frank.
Thank you.
I also know me, you know, and I know Greg. And I know what Greg does when he gets upset when things he like loses. Maybe because I happen to sit with him in a baseball park.
No, let's. Do you really want to get into that again?
Series. No, I'm not. I'm just messing around. But we should play. It's a fun game, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what we just had here was a kind of a modified version of the we spent last segment talking about which bar games are the best, and the best bar game is obviously sports debates. Like,
yes.
And generally speaking, meaningless sports debates. The more obscure and unprovable, I think, the better. I do not want to sit in the bar and argue with you, Clinton, or anybody else about whether or not Tom Brady is the fourth best quarterback in the NFL or the sixth best quarterback in the NFL. Right. I don't care. What I do want to have an argument about is who's going to win in a boxing match, Mike Tyson or LeBron James, or something like that. Who would win in a foosball game, Mike Tyson or LeBron James? Like, the more unprovable and obscure the thing might be, that to me is what, like, everybody was upset because that was the debate yesterday, right? Tyson versus LeBron in a boxing match. First of all, who wins? Both current Tyson or Pat? Yeah, of course. Today, right? Even today.
I mean, I don't know that it's in of course today, but it's...
Back in the day, it's a no-brainer, obviously.
Sure, but I think... Today, I don't want to get off on an aside here, but like I kind of do want to because like I kind of hate the fact that people call LeBron James soft. Talk about, oh, he couldn't have played in the 80s and 90s. I'm like, dog, if LeBron James was allowed to punch people, he would be even more dominant than he already is. Because one punch would end somebody's career, you know? So don't tell me that he wouldn't have been able to play back in the 80s and 90s. That was just a different era of the game. If LeBron could hit back, you don't know what would be on the other side.
There's literally no time where basketball has ever, since the invention of basketball, there's been no time where LeBron James would not have dominated. That is an absurd thing for anybody to say. If you gave LeBron 6 months to train for this hypothetical boxing match, but if you just did it today, you go fight that guy, Mike Tyson wins because Mike Tyson knows how to box.
Because Mike Tyson,
and boxing
Mike Tyson,
is a
exactly.
particular skill. Right. And so that's that. Okay. More fun, who wins in a foosball match, LeBron James or Mike Tyson?
I kind of feel like this game is a little older and maybe Tyson has picked up some skills along the way. You know, he had a lifestyle that allowed him to be doing a lot of staying up late and just kind of generally being around. He wasn't always the most focused individual. I could see him picking that up on the side. You know what I'm saying? Whereas LeBron, he's got like full-fledged hobbies. You know, I happened to learn how to play foosball because I just had it around. I feel like Mike could have picked it up over the years just to be popular. No. LeBron never needed to do that.
See, I feel like LeBron is already – like LeBron is one of those guys who probably already knows how to play foosball just in case. Like there are certain people who are good at things that they may and like prepare themselves to be good at things that they may never need to be good at, just on the odd chance that one time it matters that they're good. LeBron strikes me as that kind of guy because that dude leaves zero to chance.
Greg,
like
you can pick
about
LeBron.
LeBron. Yeah.
Greg can pick LeBron and y'all will still both get worked. How about that?
Now you think you would take LeBron in a
I mean, I'm kind of just talking trash right now because Greg has sulked back to his corner, and I'm trying to draw him back out so I can let him know once again what's going down in this ring. No, I'm being stupid. But
hey, man,
you're
the one
right.
that said we're done with the foosball talk. Just saying. Well,
I lied. How about that? No, I'm kidding. But no, you're right. LeBron does come across as that person who's got everything in the briefcase just in case something comes up. You're right.
Yes.
LeBron's better than Greg at foosball.
LeBron's better than Greg at
I'm messing
everything.
Around.
But LeBron, yeah, I don't say that as an insult.
You know,
Greg.
I love you.
LeBron's better than me at everything too. It's not LeBron's better than everyone at everything. That's how.
No, that doesn't offend me. That doesn't offend me at all.
No.
Where can I play? By the way, I haven't found a table
but
in LA.
Clinton.
Yes.
All right. There is. I know. I just said something about lists and how I don't like them. I did come across one this week, though, and Clinton, I could use your expertise talking me off the ledge when it comes to the Rams and Jared Goff. We'll do that next. Brian Kamenetsky and Clinton Yates filling in for Sedano, 710 ESPN. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils, guys, are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. That sounds good.
Nailed it.
Are you a car guy, Clinton? Do you know what any of that meant?
Yeah, like, I do.
Okay. I don't know what why it's good to have motor oils made from natural gas and why that gives me unbeatable engine protection, but I believe it.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to get into a whole viscosity breakdown about the cleanliness of the fuel and all that, but I do know which gas stations have better gas than others, but I'm not going to say that right now because that's not how we do business.
How does the one with the dinosaur do? Because that... that's one's really near my house, and it's very inexpensive.
I'll just say it this way. The one that has a supermarket
just
attached
to
it is the best actual gas in America.
All right. Good to know. Again, you want to watch those Sequence 4A wear tests using the SAE 5W30. That's important. Super-duper important. Greg, you had news.
Yeah, so there's going to be a Batman TV spinoff from Matt Reeves, Terrence Winter, set at HBO Max, and it's going to be set in the world, in the same universe as the upcoming film from Robert Pattinson as Batman. So it's about the GCPD, but it's going to be, they're thinking of calling it Gotham Central, but it's all going to be in that same world, and it's going to be set with Jeffrey Wright is going to be the detective. It's going to be James Gordon, and I don't know, it just seems a little bit odd. I think we've already had this called Gotham.
I never saw that,
Gotham?
The TV show.
I did.
I never watched it.
I liked it. Actually, I watched every
episode.
So
it was Gotham was about the police department?
Well, it was about Batman, but it was like before he became Batman. It was all the different characters before they became those characters or as they became those characters.
Now, if I'm understanding this concept correctly, this is about what it's like to be in the police department in a city that also has Batman.
Correct.
I don't hate that idea, Clinton.
I don't hate that idea either, but I'm
that's kind of interesting
now. Yeah, I'm at the age now, though, where after a certain amount of reboots and a certain amount of refreshed stories and interests changing, this is not for me. My kid brother will watch this, and he'll like it a lot because he's a bigger Batman fan than I am. But, like, I really cared about Batman in 1989 when it was Prince, and I'm sounding like the oldest man in Old Man is standing right now, and Michael Keaton. I get that.
Old man of Stan.
Your boy definitely fell
born
asleep.
There.
Yeah,
I was born there. My passport. I have dual citizenship in America and Old Man of Stan. My wife will tell you.
Batman has that ship has sailed for me. I respect it. I still like it. But for something that I was so into as a kid, it just didn't stick with me. It's weird. Other things have. For sure.
But the only thing, what makes this show work for me, because I agree with you, I don't need to watch another show about Batman. I want to watch a show where Batman is a character who never appears on the show. Like, again, it's Batman is the context in which the police force works. And so, like, you got to do stuff knowing that Batman is out there. Like, Batman's going to take credit for it. Or, like, we never get to capture any of the criminals because Batman always does it. And how do you get promoted? And, like, so, like, stuff like that. Like, what crime does Batman leave to the police department? All of these things I find interesting because the city is built around this weird, like, we were talking about Key being antisocial, this completely antisocial, vigilante, borderline, you know, I don't know what the right word is from, like, a mental diagnosis thing. It's not,
right.
I don't think psychopath works, but you understand what I'm getting at. There's a word out there for it. The less Batman you actually see, the better I think a show like this becomes.
This is
so give
reminding
me
of something. No, that's good. That's a good idea. But, like, I have this comedic storyline in my head now where Batman just pulls, like, side pranks just to annoy the cops, like rolls into the donut shop and buys the whole place out before 6 a.m. just to annoy them. Who was it? Batman, I don't have my sugar cookies or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, forget fighting crime. Batman's rich and famous anyway, so he just does stuff to annoy cops. That'd be funny. You know what I mean? Not like
there's no reason that can't be an element here. You just don't want to see it.
I would watch that. That'd be hilarious.
All right. So so I mentioned this. There is a list out there that it was disturbing to me as a Rams fan and a LA football fan. ESPN earlier this week put out a top 10 list, top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Again, I'm not here to argue whether or not Drew Brees is number 5 and Aaron Rodgers is number 3 and whether that should be. Where's Dak Prescott on the? I'm not here to disrespect Dak Prescott, but putting him at 6, I don't care. That kind of stuff drives me nuts. Jared Goff, if you did this like college football rankings, wasn't in the top 10, didn't expect him to be there. Got one vote across this whole list of people. So like in the also receiving votes category, you got Matt Ryan with 14, just outside the top 10. Kyler Murray at 8, like Ben Roethlisberger had 8. Like you have a lot of guys who are like, okay, fringy. People think they're fringy top 10 guys. Jared Goff got one vote behind Kirk Cousins, who got 2. And nice. The comment from the scout that was there was he throws the ball well, but he doesn't scare anybody.
Facts.
Jared Goff is like a $30 million cap hit for the Rams for the next 3 seasons. Should I care or should I be slightly concerned as a Rams fan that Goff has one person around the league who thinks he's a top 10 guy? And that guy thinks he doesn't scare anyone.
You should be concerned, not for the reasons that you think. You should be concerned because the price tag is one. This is hard to explain, but it's easy to understand, if that makes sense. The price tag is obviously the factor, but you should be concerned because people around the Rams team seem to be a little too pressed about him being the best player on the team. And that to me is kind of weird. It's like, look, okay, I realize that you're paying him everything, but like, how they handled that whole Gurley situation. There's been all sorts of other like roster scenarios. Like Jared Goff being the highest paid player on the team doesn't mean he's necessarily going to be the best, you know? And I don't know how much, I say this all the time, quarterback, worst coach position in the league. I don't know how much better I feel that he's gotten, even though he was probably better than I thought he was off the rip, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Right.
So while you talk about this Super Bowl stuff and all that, it's like, well, okay, but like different teams go to Super Bowl every year. For the most part, you know, just obviously outliers, but like there's always a rando team in the Super Bowl. And maybe that's just what happened there, you know? And, or, you know, maybe it's just, I don't know how to explain this. Like, there's too much weight on Jared Goff, even though he's the highest paid player. He should have never been given that much responsibility. I never thought he was going to top out any higher than he has, but he got the money anyway, so you can't really diss him. It's awkward.
The thing, and I agree with you, the money is a weird quarterback thing because the question is always, okay, if we don't pay Jared Goff, who are we going to go get? Because you got to have a quarterback. And you know, he doesn't have to be the best one in the league for you to win a Super Bowl, but he's got to be good. He's got to be good enough to get you from point A to point B. And those guys all cost money. And if you don't have one, the rest of your team can be really good and you've still got real problems. So I understand why there was no real thought of let's get rid of Jared Goff. Let's move on. Let's trade, whatever it is. But you know, the perception I have of Goff is always that he's really good under ideal circumstances.
Yes.
Receivers are whole. You got the running game. You give him a little protection. He does throw a good ball. He throws a great deep ball, and the analytics are there for that and all that stuff. But that happens like once every 5 seasons where you have that line up really well. I still don't think he's a guy that can take a dirty, broken game 2 or 3 times a season and lead you back in the fourth quarter so that instead of being a wild card team, you're the division champion. And that's my concern about him. And I don't feel like – I don't think there's enough out there to make me feel that I'm wrong.
I don't disagree with you, and I hate to ask an ignorant question, but pardon me. 2020's been a little rough, y'all, especially for people like me. What is the backup situation in L.A. for the Rams?
It's Justin Wolford, I believe, is still their backup.
I'm sorry, who?
Right. He's the guy who last year, I believe he was the guy last year who played Lamar Jackson on the scout team.
How'd that work out when they actually got to town?
apparently he wasn't very good at it. He Rams, I believe that's who it is. He is a kid from NC State. May not be a John Wolford is his name. Did okay. I say Justin?
Said
I meant
Justin.
John Wolford. He's 6'1", 200 pounds, played at Wake Forest. He did not look like he was 6'1", or 200 pounds when I saw him in the locker room that week. Seems like a very nice person, a good chap, nice fella. Also on the depth chart is a fellow named Josh Love, a rookie from San Jose State, yep. and another guy named Bryce Perkins from Virginia, who's also a rookie. But this, what you're getting at, Clinton, is why they couldn't sign Cam Newton.
Well, it's not just Cam Newton. I wanted to make a larger point about this, BK, which is that he is the kind of quarterback that like 15 years ago in the league, you just had a straight-up veteran backup for. Not necessarily somebody that was going to threaten everything about the job and not necessarily somebody that was going to create a problem if they weren't starting three out of every four games. But just a dude who people had heard of who could get it around if things went wrong. That has been almost phased out
Blake
of the NFL
Bortles,
in general.
Blake Bortles last year was kind of that guy.
I don't know. Okay, yeah, sure, that's true. I mean, I would give
but, like,
that.
But he was intended, not threatening, has quarterbacked an NFL game before. You're not necessarily in great shape if he's a quarterback for eight games. But if he's a quarterback for three games, you could be okay. You can figure out how to get through that. That's that guy.
I feel like the linkage between what I'm saying about the coachability, or rather coaching skills in the NFL for quarterbacks, and this insane desire to obsess over the concept of the franchise quarterback, actually don't really run in line with each other. Like, not every guy's going to be a franchise quarterback, and that's fine. That's not the only way to get anything done. Is it easier? Is it more palatable to fans? Sure. But there's nothing wrong with having a guy who's pretty good and a guy who's good behind him. And I feel like this is the solution in that scenario. Cam is one particular person, but I think he comes in and perhaps fights for the job. But the concept of the veteran backup in the NFL is gone. And the Jared Goffs of the world are the guys who suffer for it. Because it's like, okay, well, maybe his top side's not that great, but what else are we going to do? Go to some guy who went to Wake Forest? The only guy I know who played football for Forest is the new Bachelor. You know what I'm saying? My point is that Wake Forest is not some football powerhouse, And so it's a tough situation because I don't think he ever should have been put in the place that he's put in terms of leading the team to everything they think that they wanted. I just don't. Okay. I never thought he was that guy.
Okay. Stay here for a second. What you're talking about and how you construct NFL teams and all that and like what it means to have Cam Newton out there and available and what having a $30 million Jared Goff means to what you can do about bringing in a guy like Cam Newton. All of these things are incredibly relevant questions for the Rams in what shapes up to be potentially the strangest year of NFL football ever. And, even though it's not game day for NFL football, you can still feast like it is, Glenn. Meet Church's new $5 campfire smokehouse chicken. Our fan favorite with a new campfire flavor plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's, bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. That was professionally done. I have more questions for you about this whole quarterback thing because it gets to kind of the heart of where exactly the Rams are now. We'll do that next. Brian Kamenetsky, Clinton Yates, filling in for Sedano, 710 ESPN.